know, that kind of reminds me of people coming to church. They come in slowly and leave quickly. But anyway, we are certainly glad that all of you are here this morning. We appreciate your being here. And it is a great day. It's always great when God's people gather together to praise and honor Him. And this morning, if you will, be turning in your Bibles to the book of James chapter 4. James chapter 4. You know, several years ago, there was a song that hit the country charts entitled Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places. Well, tonight's sermon is entitled Looking for Hope in All the Wrong Places. And I hope that you'll be here with us at 6 o'clock. We encourage you to come. It is estimated that more than 20,000 people gathered recently before sunrise to watch Texas Stadium implode. Maybe many of you got up and watched that on your television set. Well, one man interviewed said that he had been there about 24 hours before the implosion. Texas Stadium was completed in the year 1971 at a cost of $35 million. At the time, Texas Stadium was real unique. It was the only one of its kind, even with a hole in top. And someone said, the reason they did that was so God could watch his favorite team. But anyway, the price paid for the new stadium was $1.2 billion, which makes this stadium, the old stadium, look inexpensive in comparison. Now, I've said all that to say this. It only took 30 seconds for Texas Stadium to come down. Have you ever thought about what you could do in 30 seconds? It is amazing when you really stop and think about what can be done in just 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, your life can be snuffed out. And in the book of James, beginning in verse 13, the writer says, "Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain." He says, "Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now you rejoice in your boastings, and all your rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, we all live every day as if life goes on. We live as if we're not going to die. It's always going to be someone else. And when the paper comes out on Tuesday, you know that it will have an obituary column. But you do not believe that your name will be in that column. You do not believe it'll be in there next week. You don't believe it'll be in there next month. You don't believe it'll be in there next year. You don't believe it'll be in there in the next 10 years or even beyond. Because many of us live our lives as if life goes on forever, and it does not. Someday our heart will stop beating. We will draw our last breath, and that really is what James is saying here. Now, I want to speak to you this morning on the subject that we ought to live every day as if it were our last. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. If you could ever possibly entertain in your mind this morning that this day could be your last, how would you live it? What would you do? You know, a lot of us believe that, well, we control our own destiny. That is, that we're in control of everything that goes on in our life. I'm here to tell you that God is in control. And God is watching us. He watches. You know, it's always amazed me how God can watch you and he can watch me at the same time. And he can watch people in China and he can watch people in Russia. He can watch people out in the Gulf who are trying to deal with that oil slick. He can watch people up in Montana. Not long ago, children were lined up at a cafeteria at a Christian elementary school for lunch. At the head of the table was a large bowl of apples. And a teacher had made a note and posted it on the apple tray, and here's what it said. It said, take only one, because God is watching. And as one moves further along the lunch line, at the other end of the table, there was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. A child had written a note and placed by the cookies that said, take all you want because God's watching the apples. Well, believe it or not, there are some people who have the idea that God can't see us all. But He does. God watches you and He watches me. He is taking observation of everything that goes on in this world. Did you know the Bible even says, and Jesus said it in Matthew 6, He said that God even takes note when a sparrow falls from heaven. Isn't that something? It is, isn't it? God knows when animals die. I read a very interesting story the other day. You may appreciate this. How many of you have ever shopped at Kohl's? Anybody? You ever shopped at Kohl's? Let me tell you about a shopping trip two women went on one time. And while they were there, they were clutching their shopping bags, and they were named Ellen and Kay, and they woefully gazed down as they walked out at a dead cat in the mall parking lot. Now, can you imagine? And obviously, it was a recent hit because there were no flies and no bad smell. And what business could that poor kitty have had here, murmured Ellen. Well, so Kay says, come on, Ellen, let's go. But Ellen had already grabbed her shopping bag and was explaining, I'll just put my things in your bag, and then I'll use this tissue. And so she dumped her purchases into Kay's bag and then used the tissue paper to cradle and lower that former feline into her own Kohl's bag and to cover it. And they continued the short trek to the car in silence, stashing their goods in the trunk. But it occurs to both of them that if they left Ellen's burial bag in the trunk, warm by the Texas heat and sunshine while they ate, why, Kay's Lumina would soon lose that new car smell. They decided to leave the bag on top of the trunk, and they headed over to a cafeteria to eat. And as they went through the serving line, they sat there and gazed out the window. They had a view of Kay's Chevy and the Kohl's bag still on the trunk, but not for long. As they ate, they noticed a woman in a red gingham shirt stroll by their car. She looked quickly this way and that way, and then took the Kohl's bag without breaking stride. She walked quickly out of their line of vision. Well, Kay and Ellen just looked at each other with a wide-eyed look of amazement and wondered what in the world. It all happened so fast that neither of them could think how to respond. Can you imagine, Ellen finally spurted out, the nerve of that woman. Kay sympathized with Ellen, but inwardly a laugh was building as she thought about the grand surprise awaiting the female thief. Just when she thought she'd have, that she was going to, go ahead and laugh, try to get over, she noticed Ellen's eyes freeze in the direction of the serving line. Following her gaze, Gay recognized the woman in the red gingham shirt with the Kohl's bag hanging from her arm. She was brazenly pushing her tray toward the cashier. Helplessly, they watched the scene unfold. After leaving the register, the woman settled at a table across from theirs, put the bag on an empty chair, and began to eat. After a few bites of baked white fish and green beans, she casually lifted the bag into her lap to survey her treasure. Looking from side to side, but not far enough to notice her rapt audience, three tables over, she pulled out the tissue paper and peered into the bag. Her eyes widened, and she began to make all sort of gasping noises. Well, the noise grew, and the bag slid from her lap and sank to the floor, wheezing and clutching her upper chest. Well, the beverage cart attendant quickly recognized a customer in trouble and sent the busboy to call 911. While she administered the Heimlich maneuver, a crowd quickly gathered that did not include Ellen and Kay, however, who remained riveted to their chairs for 7 whole minutes until the ambulance arrived. In a matter of minutes, the woman with a red gingham shirt emerged from the crowd, still gasping and securely strapped to the gurney. 2 well-trained EMT volunteers steered her to the waiting ambulance, while a third scooped up her belongings. The last they saw of the distressed cat burglar was as she disappeared behind the ambulance door, that is, with a Kohl's bag perched on her stomach. Now, I said all this to say this, that God does take care of those who do bad things, and once in a while, He allows us to witness it. You know, God is aware of all that we do and all that we think and all that we say. Now, if you were to read this particular passage in the book of James chapter 4, there are 3 things that begin to emerge very quickly. One of them is that this man believed that life was going to go on forever. One of the things I want you to notice this morning is that if your faith is real, you will not live your life ignorantly. Sometimes people say that ignorance is bliss. Ignorance is not bliss. It is the most dangerous thing in the world. That's the reason the Bible says that we are to enlighten ourselves to that which is right and that which is true. Life can end very abruptly. Now this businessman, the man he describes here, is a man who knew where he was going. He was going into the city to buy and sell and get gain. He knew when he was going. He had already mapped it out. He says, I'm going tomorrow. Not going to do it today. But he says, tomorrow, he says, we will go into the city. He knew who he was. He knew who was going with him. He didn't say, I will. But he says, we will go into the city and we will do what? We will buy and sell and get gain. He knew when he was going, he knew where he was going, he knew who he was going with, and he knew why he was going. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong for us to plan for tomorrow. Maybe some of you have already made plans. I've made plans already as well. It's not wrong to plan for retirement. It's not wrong to buy life insurance. I've heard people say, well, I just think it's wrong to buy life insurance. There's nothing wrong with purchasing life insurance. There's nothing wrong with hedging against your debt because your family is going to be left behind. It's not wrong, but it is wrong to leave God out of your plans. What was wrong was the fact that this man had no thought of God. He was like the man in the book of Luke chapter 12, the rich man. And the Bible says of this man that he said, I have everything in the world that I need. He said, I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns and I can bestow all of my goods. And then I can say, soul, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And God says to him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. And then all these things that you've accumulated, whose are they going to be then? Kenny Chesney, country music artist, sang a song some time ago. And in that song, he says that when the hourglass runs out of sand, you cannot turn it over and start again. And isn't it true? Sometimes people would like to go back and rewrite the story of their life. Can't do that. You can't change the past. You can work out, you can exercise, you can eat the right foods, but one of these days, you will eat your last bite, and you will die. So it is a foolish thing for people to live their lives ignorant of that one fact, that you are going to die. But there's another thing. If you read this story again, you'll recognize that this man, but there's another thing. If you read this story again, you'll recognize that this man, and that is, he lived his life not only ignorantly, but he lived his life arrogantly. Sometimes, again, people choose to accomplish their own will and not the will of God. If anything Jesus taught in his ministry, it had to be this one thing. And that is, my will has to be done. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, Christ prayed to God and he says, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. How many times do you ever make decisions predicated upon this one thought? God, is this in your will? We know what we want. We know where we want to go. We know how we want to get there and what we're going to do when we get there. But is it in the will of God? That is the real question this morning. Let me ask you a question this morning. Many of us have plans already for the future. Are they in the will of God? Have you ever really contemplated what you're doing? Is it in the will of Jehovah or God? Or are you just arrogantly living your life the way you want to live it without ever giving a lot of serious thought to anyone else? This man wanted to call the shots in his own life. That's what he was interested in. He wasn't interested in anyone but himself. He was kind of like Frank Sinatra, who sang that song, I did it my way. And you know, that's the way a lot of people want to live, isn't it? When they come to the end of life, they want to be able to say, hey, you know what? I did it my way. I lived the way that I wanted to live. But is that the way that honors God? This man was not just ignorant of God, but he was arrogant. You know, I've seen a lot of arrogant people in my life. I've encountered a lot of arrogant people. And when you talk to them about the Lord, they very arrogantly let you know they're not interested in matters that are spiritual. And they even brag about their arrogancy. Let me tell you just how important God should be to you. Do you know God made you? And that he can just take care of you and bring your life to an end whenever he gets ready. There are some things, whether you believe it or not, that will stop you dead in your tracks. You can't run away from blood clots. I was reading the other day how many people die every day from just blood clots in their arteries. People have a cardiac infarction, they call it. A heart attack. Clot hits their lung. Pulmonary embolus. Clot hits their heart. Clot hits their brain. You can't run from it. You can't run from cancer. You get the word someday that you're terminally ill. You could run and run and run and never run away from it. You can't run away from a heart attack. For those of us who think we are so arrogant that we can control our lives and live life the way that we want to live it, you can't run from clots. You can't run from cancer. You can't run from heart attacks. And people die every day. People die in automobile accidents every day. Pick up the newspaper. There's a trial going on right now in Palestine. For a man who was inebriated, took the life of another. It happens every day. Drive-by shootings. Pride may get you what you think you ought to have, but it will keep you from having what God wants you to have. It is wrong to plan your life without God and what he wants, because your life is in his hand. Every day is a gift of God. Have you ever thought about it? That's why we ought to live our life as if this could be our last day, because every day is a gift of God. And there is no promise of tomorrow. Isn't that what the writer's saying? That your life is as a vapor that appears for a little time, but then it vanisheth away? That's the way life is. Someone asked me yesterday, how many funerals have you preached since you've been in Palestine? I preached over 1,500 funerals since I've been in Palestine. I've married over 500 couples, and it's about the same. Think about it. 1,500. But people die every day. I was talking with Ben the other day and some of the other morticians down at the local funeral home. It's amazing, isn't it, how you're not just swamped with people, but every day, statistically, some people are going to die. And there are going to be people laying down there in those staterooms. Life is uncertain. Death is sure. And the judgment is coming. And it is wrong for you to live your life without God. But there's one last thought. If your faith is real, you will not live your life independent from God, but you will live dependent upon Him. Did you know that you're alive right now? I'm alive up here right now because God allows me to live. And He allows you to live. And every breath that you draw is God-given. Because when man was fashioned in the likeness of God, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And the same thing was true of you. And one of these days, your life can be snuffed out. One of these days, you'll go in for surgery, and you may never come out. It may be all over. I read the other day of a woman. Her name was Ms. Appleton, and she wasn't taking any chances. So prior to her operation, she taped notes on her body. Now think about this. She taped little notes on her body to the surgeon. And one note said, take your time. Another one said, don't cut yourself. Another one said, no need to rush. Another one said, wash your hands. After surgery, they said they helped the woman back to her bed and they discovered a new note that had been taped on her. And it was from the doctor that said, has anyone seen my wristwatch? Well, one of these days you could have surgery. One of these days you may have a heart attack and you may never ever come out of the emergency room. It may be over, cut and dried, and done. And then the real issue is, where will you be then? Will you go into that place of paradisical glory where God is? Or will you go into that place in the Hadean world known as torment? Where will you be? To await the great judgment morning, when all of us shall stand before the great I Am. According to James 4, you wouldn't want to live your life ignorantly, nor would you want to live it arrogantly, but you would want to live it dependently. You know, our nation was founded in 1776, and so was the Declaration of Independence. But you know what we need on file today? More than the Declaration of Independence is a document of dependence, and that is upon God. The sin committed here in James chapter 4 was not the sin of commission, but it was the sin of omission. And you know what, if the truth were known, isn't that where many of our sins lie? You stop and think about it. It's not doing what we ought to be doing. You know, a lot of people will not just overtly go out and just sin. But most of the sins that occur within the body of Christ are sins of omission. I hear people talk. They say, you know what, I should have done this, or I wish I'd done that last week, or, you know, I need to get around to doing that this week. I just don't know whether I'm going to be able to do that or not. And I didn't do this last week. It is the sin of omission. Not doing what we know that we ought to do. And too many people go through life living their life that way. Do you know that there is only one sin that God will not forgive? You know what it is? It's the sin of the total rejection of Almighty God. And the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 warns of it. The Bible says that if we have been once enlightened to the truth and we depart from it, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. In this man's life, there was presumption that life would go on. There was pride that I'll live it my way. There was procrastination because he put off doing what God had asked him to do. A failure to do what he knew he should have done. That's the reason this chapter closes with that. For him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Let me ask you a question. It's a question that I asked you at the beginning of this lesson this morning. It's amazing what can happen in 30 seconds, isn't it? What could happen in 30 seconds? I've seen so many things that dramatically changed a person's life in just 30 seconds. A sin that was committed. And I'm honest in telling you this, I've seen this. Changed someone in their life dramatically in just 30 seconds. In an automobile accident, you could be driving down the highway out here and in 30 seconds... you could be laying on your deathbed. In 30 seconds, you could be breathing. 30 seconds passing, no more breath. Just put your hand on your wrist. Don't you do that. Just put your hand on your wrist right now where your pulse is. Can you feel your heartbeat? You ever thought about it? One of these days, you're going to put your hand there, or they will, and they'll feel no pulse. And the doctor will reach up, he will take his hand, and he will close your eyes. And life will be over as you knew it. In 30 seconds. Over. Done. But let me tell you what else can be done in 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, a person can make a public declaration of his faith that he believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God in 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, a person can be lowered in water and raised out of that water a Christian. In 30 seconds, a man can have a mental change that says, I want to quit living for the world and start living for God. Mental thought in 30 seconds. Just 30. In 30 seconds, a person could apologize to one he's offended. In 30 seconds, we could make a call to someone that's ill or someone who's lost a loved one. In 30 seconds. In 30 seconds, you can tell someone that God loves them. Just 30. I'm going to give you 30 seconds right now. Just think about your life right now. And if you're not a Christian, when that 30 seconds is up, you're going to have an opportunity to become one. You can come down to the front of the building this morning and acknowledge Christ as Savior and Lord. And you can repent of your sins and be baptized this morning. And that's what Christ has asked you to do. And that's your choice. And it's a choice that will have eternal consequences. And if you're a Christian and you've turned away from God, you need to come back home, you can do it in 30 seconds. As David leads us in this great hymn of faith, let us stand.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing fire?